From St. Joseph, Missouri, here is Travis Lee Hartman.
Travis, the public wants a good one from us.
They're going to get a good one.
Okay. Welcome to another episode of Weighing In with Travis Hartman. It's a 1-2 combo for your eardrums, where we talk about boxing, sports, life, whatever else comes to mind. We do drink a little bourbon, have a little fun, and just talk about what's going on in the boxing world and what not. I'm Brandon Waters. That over there is Travis Hartman. That's a good one.
It's my new thing.
So, Travis, let's go ahead and get started. What are we weighing in on today?
So much boxing news, Brandon. This is a huge one. Vasily Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez have agreed to a title unification bout at lightweight. It's a huge fight. It's a blockbuster fight because Lomachenko is, by almost all experts' realm, he is top two, pound for pound. Sometimes he's number one on a lot of people's list. But Vasily Lomachenko is fighting this huge, massive, explosive Teofimo Lopez, who's undefeated. The guy just literally knocks people out. Everybody he fights, he usually knocks them out. And they finally agreed to a fight, and I believe it's October 17th is what I think I read. And it just got signed probably a couple days ago, 2 or 3 days ago. So it's a huge fight. It originally was going to happen, and the pandemic happened, and that kind of stalled out. And now they're back on, and it's going to be October 17th. Top Rank is the promoter of that card. So it's going to be huge.
So let's run down a couple of things here, because we'll get back to the fight, so I want your take on the fight. So what we're talking about for several weeks here, folks. Look at what's happening through the end of the month of boxing on the calendar. We talked about some last week. Then we have, the exhibition got moved to November, but that was going to be for September. I'm sure there's going to be some other stuff headline in September. We have this in October. You said October.
Yep.
The calendar's getting jammed here for the last 4 or 5 months, 4.5 months of the year. Thank God 2020 is almost behind us. It's getting pretty stacked, and I'm pretty excited about that. So not to steal your thunder, but let's get back into that fight specifically. So I want your breakdown, how it looks, your thoughts going in.
I mean, for this fight, I applaud everybody that made this fight happen. I applaud Teofimo Lopez for taking this fight, because Teofimo Lopez, by all means, has not had a huge, massive fight. He's never faced somebody like Lomachenko. But to be fair, nobody has faced somebody like Lomachenko, because he's just one in a billion. I mean, the guy is phenomenal. And he's so phenomenal now, like, he's attracted to the average, everyday person now. It's not just the fans, it's not just the boxing fans, it's everybody. And that was my phone that went off. Rookie mistake. I've been doing this for so long, and I have my phone go off. We usually are like, hey, we got to turn our phones off, but we forgot to say that. But this is how we roll.
This is how Wayne and Travis Hartman works. You want us for what goes on the fly. You want us for us drinking this, we got those camera angles. I'm going to deviate a little bit. I don't know when we're going to talk about it. Dude, you got to talk to me about the threads we're wearing. You got to talk to me about this.
Oh, this is, I told Brandon, Brandon's finding out more and more stuff. We've been friends. I moved to Florida probably about 8 years ago, and I met Brandon shortly after that at a gym that I was a general manager at. So I've known Brandon for a while now, about 8 years probably. It's probably seven or eight years, something like that. And we became close later on, obviously, but we knew each other then. But he's finding out a lot more stuff about me. Like I told him now, I said, Brandon, you're meeting Weekend Travis. And Weekend Travis is right here. Like, this is, I'm going to have, the goal is every weekend from here on out, I'm going to have a different colored new shirt. And even if it's for the podcast, I'm going to have it for the weekend. It's my weekend attire.
Hold on a second. It's not just the shirt, okay? So we have a few different camera angles set up. So those that are watching on YouTube, which thank you very much if you are, please subscribe on YouTube. Now this is going to be one of many commercials today.
Do you want me to stand up? Is that where you're going at?
We're going to get there in a second, yes. So if you're checking us out on YouTube, please subscribe, like us, give a comment if you hate it, tell us. Or on Spotify. iTunes, I think, is live now as well. Anyways, that's the size of Travis, stand up for the people. We'll pan it to your camera here.
Wait, we gotta do the walk.
Step. Look at this disaster. Shorts, oh boy. That's like that was like a zoom in on your jump. Go back again. Go back again. This is where we're at today, folks. Okay. Come on back. Please come on
wait,
back.
Wait, tap pockets.
So if you were ever wondering, if you're listening to us from another state and you hear the jokes about the Florida man, congratulations, Missouri. Florida man is now here and he's from Missouri. Travis Hartman is the Florida man.
I'm embracing it full on. Finally, it took 8 years. I've been here. I'm finally embracing it. I'm embracing weekend Trav, which has turned into Florida Trav, I guess. I mean, I'm just, listen, Brandon, I tell everybody, I work my butt off during the week. I'm in the gym, so I'm wearing a lot of gym clothes. I'm wearing a lot of gym stuff, and I like it. I love it. It's comfortable stuff. So I'm like, you know what, on the weekends, I just want to wear something that just, it speaks to me. This speaks to my soul. It's the bright colors. It's just the, I love it. I don't know, I'm comfortable. And let's, I'm going to be honest, it's really comfortable. This shirt and these shorts are really comfortable.
Well, speaking something to my soul. I'm not sure about that. Okay, so we're back on with boxing, right? We're going to talk about going back to the fight. So, fight is October. Quick take, it's early. Obviously, we don't know what much about the camps. We don't know where the both fighters are right now. Quick decision, who do you think has it?
Lomachenko.
Going to call around yet, or are we waiting on that? Remember, you tell the audience that you're going to make the money. We do not promote that. And
we don't.
We do not promise that, but you're good at calling these things.
It's too far away for it to call around, but off the top of my head, I'm not calling around. I think that'll go the distance off the top of my head, which is a very, and that's a tough one because both of these guys, they knock out and they stop the fighters that they fight. So off the top of my head, I'm thinking a decision by Lomachenko. However, give me time. I'll know that. I'll know that for sure. Just like I'll nail down the Errol Spence fight too. I'll narrow that one down closer to the time. But right now, I think that Lomachenko wins. I think he's too much. The guy is a special, special character. And I applaud Lopez and them for making this fight happen because the guy's young. I mean, this guy's super young, super green, and amazing, explosive talent. And I applaud Lopez because he's like, I want this fight. Nobody wants to fight Lomachenko. If that makes, nobody wants to fight him. The only reason they do fight him right now is because it's a lot of money. But for the most part, the guy, like, he makes undefeated number one, number two contenders in the world. He makes them look like children. I'm not kidding. He makes them look like children so bad that they get so frustrated that they end up quitting in the ring on this guy. Undefeated guys that are 25-30-0, he makes them quit because, one, he frustrates the heck out of them. Two, he hits them really hard too. Of course, he beats on them. And they literally, I've never seen a fighter in my lifetime, honestly, I've never seen a fighter mentally and physically break down another fighter the way Lomachenko does. So with that being said, that's all the positive about Lomachenko. Teofimo Lopez, just straight, quick, hard punching power. Every punch that he throws, he's wanting to take your head off, and he usually does. And he's not one of those just like very, very hard punchers. He's a very good precision counter and just like will knock your head off. Literally, he drops guys and knocks guys out that I think that he's going to beat, but then he ends up dispatching them. So like it's an explosive fight because, I'll say this as well, Lomachenko showed a small chink in his armor against in his last fight, which was Jorge Linares, who's a very good opponent. Jorge Linares put him on the canvas, caught him clean with the punch and put him on the canvas. So what I do say is Teofimo Lopez, if Lomachenko lets Teofimo Lopez catch him like Linares caught him, Teofimo Lopez has the punching ability to knock out Lomachenko. Linares knocked him down. Lomachenko has the ability to be knocked out by a guy like Lopez. So that's why the fight is explosive and interesting.
Very interesting, and especially interesting that you called him on the distance. So with Lopez, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, if you had to look it up, what sort of distance has he gone in about?
Not very far. Okay. I want to say that he hasn't with off the top of my head. I'm going to look it up on my phone real fast. But on the top of my head, I want to say that he hasn't been the distance in a long 10 or 12 round fight yet. But I'm going to double check it right fast because I want to, you know how I always like to spread positive and truthful facts. So I want everybody to know this.
That is what we do here, positive and truth. All right, so as Travis looks that up, you make a couple good points about this fight coming up. Lomachenko, like basically in a situation, a lot of these fights, people just want to quit on them. So, a little earlier than what I thought we were talking about, you know, we'll get back to the fight, but I want to try to draw a comparison to your career, you in the ring, and try to draw any comparison with this fight versus anything you've experienced. So, for instance, Travis, has there ever been a situation or an opponent that you had where that's what you were feeling? Like this, like you felt the urge, or not the urge or the desire, but you just felt like, I might have to quit this thing. Now, you mentioned the first one. Okay, we talked about that, your first fight. But was there ever another situation in your career where you're like, wow, this is some power?
Yeah. And that's great. I'm glad you brought it up because this guy actually is a big player in the division still right now. It's Terrence Crawford. So I didn't know who Terrence Crawford really. Terrence Crawford was about 8 or 9, maybe 10 and 0 when I fought him. So he was very, very unwell known by the major people. He's never fought on a major television network. He never had a major fight before I fought him. So I didn't really know about him much. So I wasn't going into the fight. I wasn't thinking that. But when I got in the fight, Brandon, whew. He was one guy who, and that, so you know what? I love this podcast because I have a story about everything. So I have a story about the Terrence Crawford fight. I got that fight on 5 days' notice. So I hadn't been training, nothing like that. It was 5 days' notice, and I jumped into the gym for 5 days and just killed it and ended up fighting him in Pennsylvania. But while I was there, I got a call. Literally, I'm in York, Pennsylvania for these boxing matches. I fight like 2 days later, and I'm in Pennsylvania. I get a call. Hey, Travis, from a good friend of mine who's a boxing promoter at the time. Hey, Travis, you want to fight at the Playboy Mansion?
Okay.
Bro, this is a great story. I'm still, like, I haven't told you this one, actually.
Remember, folks, currently this week, we're still PG-13, so let's keep going. I'm just kidding. I know it's a venue, but man, I learn something new about you every week. In pre-production, okay, we were talking, so in all transparency, we had Travis's fiance and, you know, just a few meters away. We got my wife a few meters away. They're having some fun female time. And we're just in there chatting for like 30 plus minutes, whatever else. I'm like, dude, you gotta come out here and shoot this. I was learning some stuff there too. We might dive into that maybe a little later today, maybe another week. But it centers around different stories. Elton John's one. We got another story, Lennox Lewis. I'm not gonna let all those cats out of the bag, but that's coming.
Good stories.
So let's get back to the Playboy Mansion and Terrence Crawford.
The
Travis Hartman.
This still blows my mind because it's a great story and a very heartbreaking story all at the same time. So, I'm there. I get an offer to fight at the Playboy Mansion. The fight at the Playboy Mansion, mind you, is 2 weeks later. Okay? So, in professional boxing, whether you win or lose, regardless, you get an automatic 7-day suspension. Because it's tough on your body, which is fair. So you get an automatic 7-day suspension. So I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, okay, whether I win or lose, it doesn't matter. 7 days is fine, right? So I was like, however, if you get knocked out or if you get stopped, it's a minimum 30-day suspension up to like 120 days or however they deem necessary. So now this is on my mind. Not only am I worried about this fight, but now I'm thinking, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I got the contract. I signed it. The commission approved the fight. The fight was all on. So I'm like, I told the promoter though, I was honest. I was like, listen, I was like, I'm in Pennsylvania right now. Like, I'm getting ready to fight Terrence Crawford. Nobody knew who Terrence Crawford was at the time. They were like, okay, well, that's fine. They're like, Travis, don't get hurt. Do what you can do. But the fight's yours if you make it through the fight, you know, unharmed. And I was like, okay, that's perfect, dude. And mind you, this was when the Playboy Mansion, right now, they had the three girlfriends and they had the TV show.
Oh,
do you remember this? This is 07 or, oh, no, wait, 08 or 09. It was 08 or 09. I think it was 09. So
I do remember that.
The E! Network. It was the heart of that.
Hugh Hefner. And it was I saw some of it. It was the dumbest show in the world. Like, I'm thinking to myself, okay, let's switch gears for a second. Hugh Hefner, he's old at that point. God rest his soul, I guess. Why would you ever do that to yourself? Get away from the physical stuff. The mental drain. Why
easy, Brandon. That? The wives are right next door.
agreed.
Okay.
That show was ridiculous. If you haven't seen that show from years and years ago, the internet's a beautiful thing, folks. You can actually go on there and try to find any of those sorts of things if you want to and kill some brain cells.
It was actually, surprising enough, it was actually a very popular show on the E! Network. It was like one of their bigger hits, too, because it was interesting because it made you question why a lot.
You want to see the breakdown of our society and why we are starting to unravel the scenes where we are currently. And let's not talk about politics. Let's not talk about racism. Let's not talk about this. It was reality television, okay? Now, that being said, and I'm speaking from a high horse here, we're doing a podcast, which is semi-reality sort of discussion. So it's like, okay, well, thanks. I can't remember. I'm going to look at the name of that show.
Look that up while I'm talking.
So I'm going to look at it. I got to find my phone. But let's keep talking. I want to hear this.
So I agree to fight at the Playboy Mansion. I'm fighting that Saturday against Terrence Crawford. And they called me like on a Thursday and was like, hey, do you want this fight? I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, a million times, yes. I was like, when is it? They're like, 2 weeks later. I'm like, well, I'm currently fighting, guys. And they're like, that's fine. They're like, don't get hurt. Don't get knocked out. Don't make sure you get through the fight okay. If you win, even better. But so fast forward to the fight. I get in this fight, and Brandon, I've been in with the best in the world, okay? I've been in with the Terrence Crawfords, the Keith Thurmans, the Julio Cesar Chavez Juniors, the Jesse Vart, like you name it. Like I've been in the ring with them, right? Well, Terrence Crawford, man, after that first round, I tell you what, I never wanted to quit in my entire life more than I did that fight. And I'm not kidding you. I came out after this fight, so I end up going the distance with Terrence Crawford. I lost the decision on points to him. It was a fair decision too, because I mean, he was very good. But oh my gosh, I'm being honest right now with this. If I didn't have the Playboy Mansion that I was going to fight at 2 weeks later with Hugh Hefner ringside, if I didn't have that fight to look forward to, I promise you, I would have. Probably quit that fight because he hit harder than anybody I've ever been in the ring with.
It was about power.
He inflicted some damage for sure on my ribs, on my head, everything. Like the guy was powerful. So I remember being in that fight, and I remember one time catching a body shot that hurt so bad. I was just like, I want to go down. I want to quit. But I'm not kidding you. I think I'm 24, 25 years old. Mind you, I'm also a single man at that moment as well. And I'm about to go to the Playboy Mansion 2 weeks later. But I'm just saying, like, can you imagine being 23, 24 and getting an opportunity to compete professionally? And it was on ESPN as well. ESPN was doing the broadcasting at the Playboy Mansion. Let me tell you where the after party was at the Playboy Mansion, by the way. The after party was at the Grotto.
The Grotto. I thought you were going to say it. So it's sad that I know that. So let me ask you this, because I found the name of the show. If I went back in time or on Google to try to find episodes of The Girls Next Door.
That's right. Yep, I remember now.
Am I going to find an episode where Travis Hartman's in the background somewhere?
Let me finish the story. So, I fight Terrence Crawford. I end up losing a decision. So I just have a 7-day suspension, which is fine because I'm fighting in 2 weeks, so the 7-day suspension is fine. Yep, that's the girls. That's the three girlfriends that he had. That was the show. They were ringside too for the fights. However, Brandon, it was not meant to be. So this is a really good story because there's another, man, I have stories for days. So I lose this fight. And after I'm done, I'm just so glad the fight's over because I'm like, oh my God, this guy hit me so hard. He hit me with everything, and I took it. So I lost the decision to Terrence Crawford. And mind you, if you guys look up Terrence Crawford, this guy's literally like, I think he's like 33 or 34 and 0 right now. He's knocked out every single person he's ever faced besides like four or five. One of them is me that he didn't knock out. So I'm forever on his resume of a guy that went the distance with. Right now, Terrence Crawford's considered the pound-for-pound best in the world. So mind you, the inspiration for me going the distance with him was I was going to get a chance to fight at the Playboy Mansion. So I'm in a little bit of pain. You know, I go after the fight. I'm in a little bit of a pain, but I pass all of the doctors give me a look over. And I, other than a couple, you know, bumps and bruises, little red marks, I'm fine. You know, I have my ribs are a little sore. But other than that, I'm good. So I go home and I'm like, oh, I'm going to rest for like 3 or 4 days because I need it. And then I get to fight at the Playboy Mansion, right? About 7 or 8 days go by, and I get a letter in the mail from the Pennsylvania Athletic Commission that says I'm suspended for 30 days.
Oh, man.
Which is not fair. It's, and I'll tell you more to that story as well. It's very, very unfair and very, very wrong. However, this commissioner, I'll tell you his name's Greg Serb. We've had some run-ins. This was a big story after this happened because he overstepped a little bit. So he suspends me unfairly. He had no grounds for it. I was supposed to be on a 7-day suspension. However, he's the commissioner. That's where boxing is kind of crazy, is that it's almost a dictatorship. These people get to do whatever they want, whenever they want, with the power that they have. So he suspends me. But mind you, Brandon, any other professional boxers listening to this podcast knows that if you ever get suspended, they tell you that night. They give you a sheet. On your little sheet that they sign you off on, they say the result of the fight, and they'll say 7-day suspension, 30-day whatever. Well, nobody told me anything. So that's why I was like, I'm good. I'm perfect, right? So I get it in the mail. In the mail. Like 4 days before I'm supposed to fly out to California, Beverly Hills, California at the Playboy Mansion. Okay? Get it in the mail. I'm suspended. So immediately, I go, whoa, no way. I call up the commissioner. I say, hey, Mr. Serb, this is Travis Hartman. I just got in the mail that, like, I'm suspended. Like, I went the distance. I passed all the doctor's exams. And he was like, you know what happened was he got word that I accepted another fight, and it made him mad that I did that. So he goes, yeah, I suspended you. I was like, but I passed all the tests and everything. I was like, why did you suspend me? He was like, because I can. I'm not, I promise you, I've talked about this on the radio as well with other people. And he was like, because I can. I was like, I'm looking around, I'm like 23, 20. I'm like, what do you mean you can't? I was like, that's not fair. Like, you can't do that. Like, this is my profession. This is how I make money too. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, it's okay. He's like, you won't be able to fight in your fight in a couple of weeks. It was actually less than that. It was less than a week away. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, I know you're fighting at the Playboy Mansion. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, I did everything I was supposed to do. Like, I didn't get hurt. I passed the medical exams and all that stuff. And I was like, well, how do I appeal this? He goes, you just got to send us letters. Like, you can appeal it. And he goes, and you'll probably win. He goes, but guess what? He goes, I get to pick when the date is that you come and have the appeal. And he goes, the date that you're going to have the appeal is going to be after the fight's already happened.
So let me stop you there. What, from his point of view, why does he feel slighted by that? Now, this is me being like stupid in the boxing world here. Why would he feel upset that you had booked another fight after that?
You have to know, and people who know boxing, when I tell them this story, they understand it. His name's Greg Serb. The guy is a power ego maniac. He has control of everything, and he wants control. And he felt like I was using his place of whatever, his venue, to further advance my career, and I shouldn't have been doing that.
But isn't that what every fight is, to advance the fighter's career?
He felt like I should have told him. And nobody, it's a commissioner, it's none of his business what I'm doing, but he felt like I should have told him, I should have informed them that that's what I was doing, because then if I'd have informed him, he would have tried to find a way to nix it anyway, and that's why I didn't tell him. It wasn't his business, it didn't matter, it wasn't a secret, it was on ESPN, I signed the contract and sent it back, but he suspended me unfairly, and I was just like, are you kidding me right now, man? And I'm literally, you know who I am too, I didn't even blow up on him, I was like, Mr. Serb. I even went to the mister. I was like, Mr. Serb, like, one, this is my living. I was like, this is a paycheck. You're stopping me from a paycheck because you're mad at me for no reason. I was like, I never did anything to you. I was like, this is my one and only chance probably to ever fight at the Playboy Mansion. I was like, I'll probably never get this opportunity again. He was just like, oh, well. Literally, I'm not kidding. There was a big deal. If you looked, I encourage people to Google Greg Serb. I did a whole big radio thing over this, and then come to find out this guy's a power. He's done it quite a bit.
For our listening public, whether you're listening to us on Spotify or iTunes or any other podcast source, go ahead and spell that out, and also on YouTube.
It's Greg, obviously how it's spelled, G-R-E-G, Serb, and that's S as in Sam, I-R-B as in boy, Greg Serb. And you will find a lot of stories about this man.
And I want to be clear here. Doing anything outside of what's in public knowledge here.
Absolutely.
We're talking about Greg Serb. We're not bashing him outside of what is fact.
I'm just telling the story, yep. And I've told this story before on the radio because the bunch of radio stations picked this up.
That's the producer hat, making sure that if he randomly happens upon this, that we're not in trouble by any means. No, this is, if this is what happened to you, you have your take on it. And Mr. Serb, if you ever have the inclination to defend yourself against this one specific story, feel free to. You can always contact us at waynenth@gmail.com or subscribe to us and we'll find you. So with that, I'm looking here and literally the third Google link, the second, I'll say third Google link on change.org of all places.
Oh, wow.
Remove abusive Pennsylvania Athletic Commissioner Greg Serb.
I'm telling you. And yeah. if you do enough research and Google Greg Serb, like Travis Hartman 2008 or 2009.
I'm trying to show him, but just Google it, whatever. Okay, I don't want to waste a lot of time on something like that.
So, well, I mean, he's still the commissioner. And he has been for like years. So, but I'll bring it back around as well too, because I'm going to give him a little bit of leeway as well. So he took that away from me. I told him, I was like, I want to appeal it. He was like, well, two things. He goes, Travis, you can appeal it. He goes, you'll win it. He goes, and you have to come back in person. And I was like, okay. I was like, I'll do it. I was like, in order to fight the Pueblo Mansion, I was like, I'll do it. I go, when can I come? And he's like, it's going to be 2 weeks later. And I was just like, really? I was like, I wish I was recording that too, because I could have used that against him. Because I was like, he literally told me, he goes, you can appeal it, Travis. He goes, you'll probably win. He goes, but you're not going to have a meeting until a couple weeks.
Travis, that's such crap, because I mean, you could look at almost any industry out there, people that are in power seats, and they pull those sort of tricks all the time. You know, they do that stuff on purpose because they know they can get away with it, because who's holding his feet to the fire? I think about my industry, I'm in finance, and there's plenty of times where you see certain people being fined for things, and a lot of times they deserve it. But what happens is that when they actually pursue it legally, things eventually get dropped. But sometimes guys and gals are out of business for like 2-3 months. And what happens? I'm working with clients for life. If they see that I'm not working, like my license isn't pulled for a month, 2-3 months, what do you think is going to happen to them? What do you think they're going to do?
They'll probably jump ship, pull their money.
They're going to go somewhere else. So you see this kind of stuff on my world, you see it in this world, and whatever else. Do you think that this is a prevalent issue still in U.S. boxing?
Yeah. Commissions have too much power. And what I say commissions is each individual state in the United States has its own boxing commission. They govern themselves. There's an ABC, which is the, ABC is the, they're kind of the figurehead. They're supposed to be governing all commissions, but all commissions don't have to listen to the ABC. There is an ABC, which is supposed to be like, Greg Serb actually has been president of that at one time, of the ABC, which overlooked all of the commissioners in all of the states.
So let me ask you, how was the boxing world during that period of time when he was running the whole thing?
There's been a lot of issues. Google him. There's been a lot of issues. Yeah. But again, the ABC technically, every commission operates on its own merits. Each commissioner, they're under the it's under the state though. The state governor, has to appoint these people. So it's state funded, but each state has its own governing rules for professional boxing. So I can literally fight in New York and then come back and fight in Missouri, and I can have two different sets of rules for professional boxing.
Okay, so but that's the same with a lot of stuff. And once again,
not NBA, not MLB, not NFL.
Yeah.
Not tennis.
But I guarantee that when it comes to like venues and things like that, there are certain hoops they have to run through that are different per state. That's a state guideline stuff. And I don't draw on my professional world very much here, but even like with certain business things that I do, licenses are different across different states, and I got to do different stuff. There's different fees I got to pay, whatever else. So it just, there's not a lot of, it's so disjointed. State border, it's crazy. It's like we're this one country, but we also act like 50 different countries on a lot of stuff. So that being said, it's so crazy because in pre-production, we weren't talking anything about boxing commissions.
I know.
I love it.
That's what happens. You go on these tangents, and I have, you're going to find out, I have a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experiences that I could talk for a long time about this.
That's great. So people need to listen to that. So keep going.
So Greg Serb, I come to find out, I didn't know he was as bad as he was until this happened to me. And then I did a radio show as well for like 10 or 11 years. And so my radio show picked it up. I'm like, oh my gosh, we literally wrote a big letter to the state of Pennsylvania, letting them know as well the things that he's doing, the things that he did to me, like a big, huge letter, sent it to him, addressed to the governor, all of that. And a bunch of outlets picked it up. We ran with it. But again, at the end of the day, it didn't fall on deaf ears, but I was just trying to help other people go through those experiences that I went through, because now I was already screwed. Do you know what the icing on the cake was, Brandon? It was one of my good friends that was going to get me the fight. He ends up going to the Playboy Mansion, right? They still have my credential with my name on it. That's how soon this fight fell out. Like, it was like within 3 days, I think, it fell out. And they had to find another opponent that fast. They already had my, like, I actually come to find out, I could have still flown out there and went to the fights because I had a credential. And that's that venue is not open to the public. You can't buy tickets to go to the Playboy Mansion. Only people get to come there is Hef. And Hef gets to pick who comes. It's just like going to the Grotto. You have to be on the list. I was on the list. And come to find out, I was on the list still, and I missed out on that opportunity. And that's something that still grinds my gears till the end of my time.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so there's a lot there. A lot of dad jokes and that's what she said jokes I had. I let them be. This is, once again, until we have a guest on, especially someone like I mention every week, Brian Price, because I talked to him on Saturday. We'll talk about that in a bit. This is PG-13, but there's a lot of jokes I could have gone with on that Grotto thing, and, you know, Hugh Hefner picking who comes to the Playboy Mansion to fight. So anyways, grinds my gears. All right, so there's that. That's a good story, man.
It's a good story, but then it's a bad one because I'm like, everybody's like, oh my God, Travis, you fought at the... I'm like, just let me finish first.
You had me there. I was on the hook.
You were looking. I know you were looking.
I was like, dang.
So I did the radio show I do as well. It's something like we're doing right now. I did the radio show, and they were on the radio show, and they had planned. We do our segment on Sunday, and the whole goal was, and they gave me this task, and we talked about it on the radio. They said, listen, Travis, we want you to win, of course. Like, we're rooting for you to win. They're like, but your one goal is, what we need you to do is, we need one of the Playboy models to come on the radio show with you on Sunday. That's your goal. So you fight on Saturday. Do whatever you do. Hopefully you win, because then it'll be easier to get one of the girls on the show with us at the same time as you're on there. They're like, but that's your only goal. And I was just like, done. I'm like, you know, I'm like this professional athlete. I'm like 23, 24. I'm like, let's do it. I'm so stoked. So, like, my life was so awesome at that moment, and then Greg Serb crushed it all.
But Travis, I think your life is much more awesome now.
Agreed.
100%.
But listen, this is what, I'm not kidding here, this is what gets me through a lot of my, like, rougher times. I consider that a rough time, because I genuinely think that sometimes God closes those doors for a reason. Like, maybe he was protecting me from something. Maybe something crazy could have, like, who? I mean, it's the Playboy Mansion. I'm 23, whatever. Like, something, he could have been protecting me from something. You know what? I live and learn, and through my experiences, that is one of the ones that I still think about a lot. But my solace is that, you know what? Maybe he really was protected, because I'm a young, dumb idiot at that moment. Like,
I would easily say, as being an old idiot right now, that he definitely was protecting you from yourself, from a multitude of stupidity. But it would have been cool to fight on that venue and get it. Not a lot of fighters.
It was on ESPN too. Like, that was, it was good exposure.
Yeah, not a lot of fighters have had that experience there. I mean, honestly, as I think back to my past of just watching anything, I know there's been a lot of fights.
No, there wasn't. It was a very, like, it was, I think he might have had one every couple of years. It was very special.
So that stinks, but you know what? You have a good story.
Yeah.
That's what we want to hear here. We want to hear all the stories you got.
That's what I have to fall back on. I'm like, you know what? I got a forever good story. And this is a verifiable, like I said, you can look all over the internet. Like, there's some, the letter that I wrote, it might be out there. I'm not positive, but it might be out there too if you dig hard enough.
And if you want to confirm this story at all, you can also send an email or a letter to Greg Serb.
And just check with him. Oh, yeah.
Today's?
I do.
Okay, we'll get there. So, I'm sorry, this isn't a bashing session for somebody that's in a boxing power position. However, it is a little concerning to know that that's still the state of the sport when it comes to the commission side of things. Now, granted, I've never been a professional fighter. I've never been an amateur fighter. I'm just I would call me a semi-enthusiast and a good buddy here of this guy across the table. So we want to make sure that at least we're giving our thoughts on not only specific fights happening, but also just the outlook of the sport in general. And with that said, I think, especially when we come back from break, I do want to break down some of these zone fights headlined by yet another female fight, which is great. We've been talking, several weeks here about the future or the progression of the media taking hold of female boxing and promoting it the way it should be promoted. So that's awesome. We'll talk about that probably after break. But Travis, what were the dates on that?
So I fought Terrence Crawford on March 7th, 2009, and I fought him in York, Pennsylvania.
So you were looking at 2009, the fights at the Playboy Mansion would have been just after St. Patrick's Day, so probably like March 12th.
It would have been a couple weeks after, yeah.
You said it was about 2 weeks.
It was, yep.
So if you want to reference with...
I can actually tell you who I was supposed to box, so you can look him up. Prentice Brewer was his name, and he still ended up fighting. They found a replacement. Of course they're going to find a replacement on 3 days' notice. Who's going to turn down the Playboy match? So you know what? I need to reach out to that kid because I know the kid as well. Lowell Brownfield, I believe, was his name. He ended up getting a fill-in spot. I wonder if he knows how he got that spot. I bet he doesn't, actually, because he's not a friend, but he's somebody in the boxing world that I know of.
Well, to stop you there and to quote Drake, which I'm So with that, we're going to take a soft break here, and you won't see a difference. Give us a few seconds, we'll come back, hopefully pay a bill or two. We're going to get some fresh ice, as you can see, I'm out. But this is pretty good. We're also going to talk about this for a few moments when I get back to you. We have some thoughts. Oops, hit my mic.
I have a lot of thoughts.
We have a wealth of knowledge. We'll be back. See you soon. See you around. And we are back, though it just felt like we were gone for about 3 seconds. So, I did mention before break that we were going to talk a little bit about this, because we like to drink another bourbon and possibly a scotch every week, a different one, and who knows, hopefully we never run out, there's a lot of them. But this week we are drinking Horse Soldier. Here's the label, a cool little label there. It's like a little copper label or something.
It's the coolest labeled bourbon whiskey that we've had yet.
I tell you what, so we're getting our way through it. I know we haven't drank a ton of it because I've been listening and Travis has been talking about all sorts of stuff, but it's very good, so Travis, take a look at that.
Brandon, I want to focus on the one thing it says. It's Horse Soldier, right? But it also says Legendary Men, followed by Legendary Spirits. I feel like this is an accurate drink for us right now, no? Is the podcast legendary yet?
It better be. So with that, it will get legendary if we get more subscribers, not only on Spotify, not only on YouTube. Take a look on iTunes. I know that's there too. Anywhere, everywhere, we are there.
I'm posting it on my Facebook page as well. Like, you guys can follow all of our... The YouTube link is on my Facebook page. The YouTube link is on my Instagram. You can follow all of it.
Listen, we know our world follows on this idea of an algorithm. That's everything. Everything's an algorithm now. Such is life, such is the podcast life. So we just appreciate all support. And in true sincerity, I know there's been many that have commented since we discussed openly a few days ago that, hey, we have this thing out there. Check out our content. We've been doing this for like 6 weeks. Now this is 7 weeks. We appreciate all the support out there and all the comments and things like that. The feedback's been awesome. Please continue to do so. But each week we do try a different bourbon or scotch. So far it's been only been bourbon. And this has been pretty dang good. I'm pretty happy with this choice here so far. We're going to keep drinking it today. With that said, it's kind of become a running thing. Every time we go to a little short break, I go over to the next bed and to where Travis's fiance is, and she's cooking something. She's whipping something up for me. I don't know where this camera angle. Look at this. This is me getting fat. I don't know if you can hear me getting fat with the snickerdoodle I'm about to eat. This baked donut with all sorts of
goodness.
Travis, how are you so skinny?
Because, Brad, I have my own boxing gym. I'm in this gym Monday through Friday. I have to be in here and be active, or else you would see that I'm just chunky town.
Well, I hear you, and this is about as cool as it gets right now in here, 82.8. If I read that backwards, yes, I did. So,
No, you were right. It's 82.8.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, you were exactly right.
So I'm gonna choose some food here. I know we also said we're gonna discuss before we went to break a little bit more into the women's boxing world. So there's a lot of exciting things happening. There's a great fight just the other day. But depending on when you're actually listening to this, and I want Travis to talk about it. So I'm gonna start chewing, Travis. I'm gonna throw it to you. And so if you want to talk about that fight, maybe some other things that I think maybe had on your chest that you just wanted to quickly elaborate on, but I'm about to take a bite of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brandon's alluding to Cecilia Brekus. She's a Norwegian. She actually was the main event on DAZN last night, which, what is today? It would have been August 15th is when the fight was. However, I'm a big fan of if... I don't like to speak negatively all the time, so I do have to throw a little bit of a positive spin on things. I had another interaction with the commissioner, Greg Serb, after I fought Terrence Crawford. So, and I have to bring it up because, I mean, it was a good interaction this time. So I ended up, this would have been, I fought Terrence Crawford in March of 2008. I got a fight offer to go back to, this time it was Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and it would have been December of 2009. So I get to go back there. Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions is promoting this card. Bernard Hopkins is the main event. We're fighting at Temple University. It's called La Cara Center. I forget the name of it, but it's the basketball stadium. So really cool event, really cool venue. So Golden Boy, I'm actually really good friends with the matchmaker, which is Roberto Diaz. He's been there a long time, matchmaker with Golden Boy. He asked me, hey, you want to fight, you know, Jesse Vargas? By the way, who Jesse Vargas is another world champion that I fought, one of the many that I have fought. But he says, you want to fight Jesse Vargas? And I was like, where's it at? He said, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I said, listen, Roberto, I was like, I appreciate the offer. I was like, but I'm pretty sure that I'm never allowed in Philadelphia again, but Pennsylvania to ever fight again because I had a little run-in with Greg Serb. And I shit you not, this is what he said to me. He said, Travis, don't worry. He goes, this is Oscar's putting the show on, which is Oscar De La Hoya, Golden Boy Promotions. And I was like, listen, even if I said yes, I'm pretty sure Greg Serb is not going to approve me. And that's where I talk about these commissioners have too much power. So there's actually a deal where just because I sign a contract with the promoter, the commissioner actually can approve or deny the fight. It's actually up to him whether the fight gets approved. They have that ability to veto it. So I looked at him, I was like, how much is the fight? He told me. He goes, I can send you a contract right now. He's like, if you sign the contract, he goes, I'll tell you right now. He's like, we'll make that fight happen. He's like, Oscar's got that kind of pull. And I was just like, I mean, I know Oscar De La Hoya, I do, but I also was like, I know Greg Serb. He's got pull too because he can say no if he wants because he wants to. So I was like, all right. I was like, you know what? I could definitely use this fight. It's a decent fight. I was going to college at the time too. So I was, you know, trying to pay for tuition and all that. And I was like, you know what? I was like, let's see. I was like, because I don't think he's going to allow it. He goes, yeah, I was like, all right. He's like, sign the contract. I signed the contract. He sent it back. As soon as I signed the contract, he sent it over to Greg Serb. Greg Serb approves it. I was like, what, Roberto? What? He was like, yeah, he approved it. I told you it'd be fine. I was like, I don't believe this. He was like, yes. He's like, you're fighting. I was like, maybe he's trying to mess with me. And when I get there, he's going to pull some kind of something, right? No, I get there. Listen to this. I had protested, did articles on websites, did radio things against Greg Serb, told him how big of a jerk he was for what he did. And I go to the weigh-ins, and Brandon, I'm telling you right now, I walk into the weigh-in and I'm getting anxiety over this, like, because I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen when I meet this guy, because I've talked a lot of crap, deservingly so though, but I talked a lot of crap about Greg Serb, right? I show up, and I know he knew it too, that he'd read all the stuff that I said. He came right up to me and shook my hand and was like, hey, Mr. Hartman, how are you doing? And I was like, so I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I'm like waiting for something. And I was like, how are you? He's like, I'm doing very well. He's like, I'm glad to have you here again.
So I wonder, you know, sometimes when somebody's in that type A personality that's in the power seat, in a lot of cases, they actually like someone that will push back and they respect. So maybe there was some respect built between you two. I'm not going to make assumptions like that.
Yeah.
So
I think you're right, because I ended up I fought there, and then I ended up coming back to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and fighting again, and in a fight where it was a really tough fight again. And I remember being in that fight, and I was on the ropes, and I was doing some really good defense, but the guy was throwing like 8 to 10 punches, and like I'm like blocking it, and I'm telling you, Greg Serb was ringside because he's a commissioner, and he looks up to the referee and yells at the referee, "Let it go, he's fine, don't stop it," because you could tell I was fighting a hometown guy, and the referee wanted to stop the fight, and because Greg Serb, who's the commissioner, he was telling the referee, "Don't stop this fight, he's okay. So like, I feel like I got a little mini bromance after that, but I'm still bitter, I'm a little bitter about Playboy Mansion, but I do have to bring this back around. Like I've said, that Greg Serb has, from that moment, treated me with respect and integrity, because I think he found out, he's like, oh, Travis is not some stupid boxer who I can take advantage of and he'll just go away. And that's not how I work, and people know me now. I'm passionate about something. Passionate.
And I like the idea of the bromance. I like the idea of the bromance. Maybe you guys,
I don't know about that, but
maybe you guys are sending birthday cards back and forth. I don't know. Whatever it might be. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, it's such a good sound. I've learned to love that sound. So, you know what? I'm going to bring it back around, though. And now I do want to talk about women's boxing, because you know what, Brandon? We've talked about women's boxing. Have we talked about every episode?
Push over that glass.
I think we've talked about every episode.
Almost every episode, and deservingly so, because you know what? I hate referring to it as women's boxing. It's boxing.
Thank you. It is. I hate labels like this. We have to do.
This was a main event on the zone. For us, it was yesterday, and it wasn't one of these where, but I think the first time we talked, maybe this third podcast we did, it was that there was a main event.
Michaela Mayer.
Yes, and that it became a main event because the other main event, the men's fight, broke down because of coronavirus. Oh my, that's the first time we've talked about the big C.
What are we, 40 minutes in?
I think from now on, we're gonna create a rule, maybe even a drinking game, or push-up game. Anytime the big C is mentioned,
push up.
Point forward, we got to go over here and do 5 push-ups.
I like it. Actually, how about this? I got a basketball hoop over there.
Okay.
I don't know if you can see it. Can you see it in one of the cameras? So listen, here's the deal. What we're going to do is, if the big C gets mentioned, we're going to do 1 push-up. Okay? Wait. But, however, if I miss this shot, we're doing 5. If I make the shot, we're sticking at 1 per Big C comment.
Hold on, I want to adjust.
Look at this.
Because I think it's for whoever says it.
Has to do the push-ups.
Yeah.
No, I think we're a team, Brandon.
Okay.
We win as a team, we lose as a team.
If you've been following along with Travis Hartman for a while, outside of this podcast, I know a few months ago you were doing the push-up challenge.
Yep. They're 5,000 in a month.
I know you would put a big... You and I did one time together.
Yep.
We were drinking some of this brown stuff, and we were doing those push-ups. Maybe it's beer. I don't remember. But
I don't remember.
We
actually
did a lot, and I might have been in like work attire too. So
it's probably accurate.
Look in the annals. I said annals of Travis Hartman.
How do you spell that?
I can't right now. It's going to be close. To
okay, so wait. Let's up the ante. We have to do 5 push-ups for every time we mention the big C together, so 5 each.
Okay.
However, if I miss this, we have to do 10.
So every time we mention it, you're going to shoot a shot?
No. Every time we mention... So the shot's only going to happen... This is a one-time deal. This is... If I miss this shot from here on out, we have to do 10 every time. If I make it, we only have to do 5.
Oh, okay. So this changes the big
yes.
rules for the rest.
Yes. This is lifelong until we come up with something else new.
Lifelong. Okay. Well, let's just work on it. Okay. Fine.
You know what?
Travis, this is going to really test the video editing skills here. So I'm going to back my big head up, and you'll be able to see the basket behind me pull up.
I'm not going yet. I'm practicing. Okay.
Going.
So if I make this, we stick it at 5. If I miss it, we're doing 10 push-ups every time we mention the big C. 10 each. We don't get to split it up. It's 10 each. Okay. So I'm hoping to make it because I only want to do 5. I'm vacation Travis on the weekends.
We're far out.
Ah!
That wasn't even close.
I mean, I hit backboard at least. Yeah, I did. I hit backboard. It did not. We replay. You guys can see this on film. I hit backboard 100%. But I did miss it. All right, Brandon, guess what? You're eating donuts now, so you're going to do 10 push-ups each.
Well, someone's got to say it.
I'm not going to say it yet because we don't need to. I'm going to get back on topic about women's professional boxing.
Talk to a big breakdown. Sorry, everybody. This just is what happens on the fly here on Weighing In with Travis Hartman. So let's break down the main event that was on the zone last night on the app, which really I would imagine they're doing pretty good right now. That's a different
topic. I mean, they probably, but their boxing is still not allowing any fans. So it's been straight.
What is? I mean, the NFL.
Yeah, that's true.
Right now, as a Green Bay Packers fan, I think its first two home games at least are no fans.
Really?
I think they came out and announced that.
Preseason or actual season, regular season?
I don't know the details. I know the president, Mike Murphy, came out and stated that 80%, which was a shocking number, 80% of season ticket holders, which that basically that whole stadium is season ticket holders, 80% opted out for the year. Think about that.
Wait. Green Bay? I don't believe that. 80% of the fans who will go there when it's negative zero with 95 inches of snow on the ground and they still come. I don't believe it.
I'm just speaking the headline I saw.
What have we come to? They're not walking uphill both ways to school?
I'm not saying that's a fact, but I saw that the other night when I was going to bed. I was like, that doesn't make sense to me. Because you know what? Fine, if they want to opt out. I don't even live in Wisconsin. I'll jump in line.
No, isn't there like a waiting list of like 20 years?
Yes.
Throw some of those people in.
Yes, if
please.
Anything, whenever someone dies that has season tickets, it's actually they leave it behind them for trust.
To carry it over.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Stays in the family.
You know what? I'll give you a little bit of credit. That's pretty cool about Green Bay. Their whole fan base and their whole set business like model that they have up there with the fans and the whole field and their season tickets, it's pretty awesome.
Well, Travis,
that's pretty awesome.
I'll jump you one here with that. It's not only that, it's that we own the team.
That's what I'm saying. That's the cool business, the whole business model they have.
I say we because I'm a shareholder.
How is this possible?
Because back many years ago, they opened up extra shares. All that means to being a shareholder is that point.
You have no say, but you're giving them something.
Now it's a specific way of doing it. They were doing some remodeling work, whatever, on the whole. I want to go up there. I haven't been to Lambeau. I want to go to Lambeau.
You've never been to Lambeau.
I've never been to Lambeau.
You're not a true fan. You're not a true fan.
I'm not a world traveler like you, Travis.
First of all,
have you been to the Cowboy Stadium as it is now?
You better believe it. I've been there multiple times.
Do you have a family member that was a Cowboy?
No.
Shut your mouth.
Wait, that's like you. That's up. Not even a plus. You have a feeling where there was a Dallas Cowboy, yet you are a freaking Green Bay Packer fan.
Hold on, live.
What are you doing? What are you doing with your life right now?
I'm gonna talk and choose what I'm gonna say. So many years ago, they opened up shares because they were doing renovation work in the stadium to increase the stadium, and then also the Titletown area outside of the stadium. They were doing a lot of work, so it requires money, right? So I think they were issuing shares, and it looks like a stock certificate.
Air quotes, he did air quotes, shares.
It was basically me sending them a check for like $400 or something like that.
Pretty solid. I might do that if Cowboys.
In order to be an NFL owner.
Can you include that on your resume now? You should. Like, if your resume doesn't say that, I'm going to be mad at you. Like, that should be on your resume, bro.
Self-employed.
He owns part of the Green Bay Pack. You are a shareholder. Part owner of the Green Bay. You own 0.00001%, but you still own part of it.
In my office, my business site, in my office, it's hanging there. In between the big picture of Brett Favre autographed and the big picture of Aaron Rodgers autographed.
I can go for the Brett Favre one, but not for the Aaron Rodgers one.
Something went on with him and Dan Patrick.
What happened there?
I'll call him. I'll find out.
How did we start on talking about boxing, and now we're talking about Aaron Rodgers' personal life?
Coronavirus.
Fudge. All right, guys, we have to do this now.
It's 10.
7. Did you miss?
I know.
Hold on. I want the fans to see this.
Okay.
All right, you ready? 10.
Yep. Yeah.
Vacation, Trav.
I only beat him because
holy crap.
I realized,
Man, that's a lot. Like, it's hot in the gym already, Brandon. I thought we did this podcast to get away from training and working out.
All right, I put the hat on in order to cover the sweat, but I don't care anymore. Hat's on the ground. I'm cool sweating in here. It's oxygen, for goodness sake.
It's true. Where's your towel? Did you bring your towel back home? Good man.
So, we're going to start talking about the main event last night on the Zone.
Yes.
Women's boxing bout. Break it down for us.
Cecilia Brækhus. She is a she's a Norwegian. And actually, she's a cool story. You should look her up, by the way. She's 36-0. They call her the First Lady of Boxing. That's her nickname. I don't know why they call her the First Lady, because there's obviously been women boxing before her. However, cool story about her is, let's see, in 2008, I fought on the same card as her when we fought in Germany. We fought in Germany together. She was promoted by a German promoter. So she actually fought on the same undercard as me in Kiel, Germany. And I encourage everybody to look up these things that I'm saying, because they're facts and they're verifiable. So look up Cecilia Brækhus and look up Travis Hartman, and we fought on the same card in Germany, Kiel, Germany. So point is, Cecilia Brækhus, First Lady. I got a picture with her at the weigh-ins, all that stuff. It was cool. She's a cool lady. She's 36-0. She has 25 title defenses. She'd like tied the all-time record for the most title defenses, and if she would have won again, she would have broke that record.
Okay, so let me stop you there. That record, that's not just to women. That record for title defenses was across boxing, men and women.
Yep, yes, that was not a... Of course, she's got the record for women title defenses, for hands down. Nobody's ever... But she was tying a record that was in boxing, which is what I love. I love it because it was not a women's or a female's record. It's a boxing record. She tied it. And she was going to break it. She was fighting a girl that was 8-2. Girl that she was supposed to beat. It was a unification bout because the girl was a title holder on the lower... I believe she was a title holder on the lower weight class. However, her name was Jessica McCaskill. She was 8-2. Great story, though. I encourage everybody to look this up, because this girl was homeless when she was like in fourth grade. Something crazy. And she came out of all of that. She's an investment banker now. She's a professional boxer. Like, such a good story. However, long story short, the fight was amazing. It was a good fight. It really was. Cecilia Brækhus loses a decision on points. I did not agree with the decision. I thought it was a very close fight. I thought Brækhus pulled it out 6-4, which means that one round less would have been a draw. That's how close of a fight it was. They gave the fight to the other girl. It was a majority decision, I believe. It was one judge had it a draw. The other two judges gave it to McCaskill. So McCaskill ends up winning the title. But the most shocking, not shocking, I shouldn't say that, but the most, it was a little surprising, because when most people go undefeated their entire career, so Brækhus is like 37 or 38 years old, and she went her whole career without losing. She's 37 bouts. She's 38 years old, never lost a fight, okay? It's amazing. She's probably went 10 to 15 years without losing a fight, right? She loses her first fight ever. Her reaction in the post-fight press conference was phenomenal. Like, you could tell the reporter was trying to goad her into being negative.
Which they seem to do that with everything, just for a headline or whatever else, but keep going.
They asked her, they said, you lost your first ever fight. What do you think about the decision? Because, you were undefeated, you're the champion of the world, like, and don't you think the decision was a bad decision? And Brækhus, I actually was very surprised. I told you off record what I would have said, but she said... They asked her that question, and she goes, I don't want to talk about that. She goes, let's talk about McCaskill won. She's like, she fought a good fight, and I'm passing on the torch to somebody like her who's deserving of the title. And literally, she never said, I thought I won, which, guys, in all fairness, I thought she did win. So she could have said that, and it wouldn't even have been out of line. But she didn't. She chose not to, and she was smiling, and she was just like, you know what? It is what it is. Like, I have to rethink and see what I want to do, because... Truthfully, I think she's going to retire. She lost her first ever fight. She's 38 years old. She's accomplished everything she could in boxing for her career, everything. As a woman boxer, she's accomplished everything. So she doesn't have to fight anymore if she doesn't want to. And she kind of alluded to that a little bit in the post-fight. But what just blew me away was she didn't make an excuse. She didn't say, oh, I hurt my arm, or I didn't have a good training camp, or the judges were terrible, or the referee was terrible, which, to be fair... I thought she won the fight. And I'm a very experienced boxer myself, and I'm a very experienced. I've watched a lot of fights. I thought she won the fight. I thought she won it fair and square. And I didn't think that the other girl won the fight. But she did. They gave it to her. So guess what? At the end of the day, the other girl won. McCaskill beat Brakus. So my point is that, like, she was so classy in defeat. Like, I really encourage people to look her up and actually teach your kids the same thing. Like, you know what? At the end of the day, there is no excuses. At the end of the day, that decision is final. You can't change that decision. Even if it was a horrible decision, you can't change it. She accepted it, and she's moving on. And you know what? Sometimes in life, we have to accept defeat in order to succeed sometimes. And you know what? She's succeeded already. She's accepting defeat. But guess what? One door's closing and another one's opening. McCaskill now has a great story. They said this on DAZN, and I think it's true. I think they'll make a movie about this Jessica McCaskill who upset her. This girl was 8 wins, 2 losses. Brakus was 36-0, and the 8-2 won. Like, that's a phenomenal story. And this woman came from being homeless when she was, like, a younger girl. Like, she's got a phenomenal story. So it's a good story. She won these titles. She won, like, 4 titles. Like, she won all of the titles. So it's a good story. But the way Brakus, like, accepted the defeat, like, it just, I don't know. Like, everybody thinks that you're supposed to be angry and mad all the time. You don't have to.
That's a classy move. She's coming from a different position here. She's, what, she said she was, like, 36?
38 years old.
38, illustrious career. That record alone, like having that many title defenses and holding that record now, which will be cemented now.
Yeah.
And until someone maybe breaks it, but who's going to break it in this day and age of boxing? Who could even possibly?
She was 36-0, and she had 25 title defenses, which she was a world champion.
So classy veteran move on her response post fight, and I think you make a lot of good connections to everyday life. When you're looking at raising kids, I have 2 kids, obviously, and you know that. But when you're trying to raise up children, or when you're looking at yourself, are we going to only focus on the wins, only focus on the positive, or how do you grow through the losses and the negatives? And to be gracious in defeat, which is not taught very well, I don't think.
It's not.
On the coaching level. My coaching experience usually is youth. I've coached on high school level. I've coached championship level track and field athletes. But I've also coached younger kids on flag football, other sports like that. And one of the main things that we try to promote, especially in a loss, which there haven't been many of them, so I'm happy with that too. But in loss, in defeat, how do you be gracious? How do you look at your opponent and say, awesome job. You did well. There's some situations where you're like, that call got blown, or that ref could have done this or that. But you know what? If you think you should win every time, then it shouldn't be in the ref's hands. It shouldn't be in the judge's hands or the official's hands. So to be gracious in defeat is something that we try to instill in our youth programs as I'm coaching on track and field and on football and things like that. And I know that's something you instill in your fighters as you coach them, as you train them. You're not going to win
it. It's all about the journey. It's not about the end result. At the end of the day, that's what we should be teaching our kids and everybody. And it's not to say that we don't want to win at all costs, because I want them to win at all costs. But at the end of the day, a win or a loss does not defeat everything that they've done before or after. So you can rebound from that.
So I don't know enough about her, but from that response and loss, I can only imagine that her response and victory was also just as gracious, which is also a huge thing that is taken for granted. Those that win consistently, and you see it with a lot of the great athletes, not only boxing, MMA, other sports.
Everything.
And winning the best, the people you really look up to and history will look up to, are gracious in victory too.
Yep.
Gracious in victory and in defeat. Because that talks to who they are from a moral fiber, who they are internally. And so I commend her. Great career. I mean, I honestly, when you told me and then I did some research, I didn't know any of this stuff, which that in itself is a problem. And that's the stuff we should be hearing about. We don't need to be hearing about the NBA bubble and all this other garbage that's going on. Because who cares? That's a story. That's a life story. That's a champion.
Yep, that's a true champion. In defeat, that's a true champion, even in defeat. And that's what I love about that story. Like, I genuinely, what's bad, Brandon, is that we're to the point now where we're surprised when somebody acts like that, which is that's a perfectly acceptable and probably how we should react. But I told you the story and I was like, I was surprised, and we shouldn't be surprised by that. That actually is how it should be. Like, she can be angry inside at herself or disappointed at her loss or whatever else, but like the fact that she projected and was like, this is how I see it. It's the old term is like, I don't have to blow your candle out to make mine shine brighter. And I think she's like that. And I feel that way. I'm just like, that's like in everyday life. Like, you don't have to blow somebody else's candle out to make yours shine brighter. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. But like, seriously, like, we do that in life in general and in sports especially. We don't have to. Like, you know what? Cecilia Bricus, she's like, you know what? I'm passing the torch on. You know, shine, and she said, as she's like, shine bright. She's like, I hope that you honor that, and I think that you will. And she's like, kind of preluding that she's probably going to retire. But if she doesn't retire, she could still come back and be just fine. That's why people should realize that you know what? You're just knocked down for a second. It's a speed bump. Life is a long journey. If Cecilia Bregas wants to come back, she could. If she wants to retire, right off into the sunset, because you've done an amazing career. You were 36-0 before last night. You're 36-1 now. Retire if you want to. You have nothing to prove. So again, you don't have to blow somebody else's candle out to make yours shine brighter. And I think that everybody should know that. And that's in life. That's at your job that you're doing. You should not be jealous that somebody else is succeeding or not, because guess what? Your time is coming. You know, leave it up. Leave it to fate. Fate will take care of itself as well. You work really hard. Go for what you want to go for. You can take it in your own hands too. That's what I'm saying. I think you said that last episode as well, and I think you were correct too, where I was just like, you know, what's meant to be will be, and God has a plan for us all, right? That doesn't mean that you still can't go out there and do absolutely everything in your control. And that's the whole point of everything, is do everything that you can do. And the rest will take charge.
It's so interesting how blessed and lucky I get the harder I work. Right? And to you, silly, cheers to you. That's so far been an awesome career if you decide to hang it up, if you decide to, you know, continue going. But here...
You know what's funny, Brandon? Yesterday was exactly 1 year since I competed.
Wow. Okay.
I was looking at my memories on my Facebook, and it showed up we had a weigh-in face-off with my opponent. Yeah, it's been a year.
We don't have time today.
It was August 15th.
Oh, okay. So that was yesterday. Yeah. So we can talk about that next week. All right, because we're starting to kind of hit that time frame. I think so far, for those that listen to us, thank you, thank you, thank you. YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, wherever we're at, thank you for subscribing. If you haven't, it's easy. Just click the button. I think if you're looking at me, that's backwards, so it's right there, somewhere right there.
People got to realize, too, like, listen, we're not asking for money. We're not asking for anything. You know what we're asking for? How hard is it to share? How hard is it to subscribe? It's pretty easy. You just press a button and, you know, support your friends and family. Like, that's what it's all about. I support all my friends and family when they do stuff. And at the end of the day, that's all we're asking for.
If you hate us, subscribe so you can torch us. I like it. I look forward to those comments.
100%.
I say until you hurt me personally, when you make fun of my anime shirt or you make fun of his outfit.
No, and don't make fun of my beard, guys, because I'm just now growing it back out again. Like, please don't make fun of my beard. Like, look, I'm looking at you right now. Please don't. I'm trying my best right now.
Please don't. Please don't. Only make fun when he shaves the mustache off and he looks like Abraham Lincoln.
Hey, Honest Abe is not a bad person to look like.
No, but he's the only one that can pull
off. You're probably right on that one, actually. But listen, I told you this story already. The only reason that I shaved it is because I didn't have a trimmer, so... It was either all off or just staying, and it was itchy, and I'm getting better now because now I bought a trimmer, okay? I have a mustache trimmer, so now I won't just shave the mustache because I knew when I shaved it, and listen, nothing against them, but I looked Amish. I looked Amish.
Well, Travis, you don't have to worry about offending the Amish.
But guess what? I'm living in an Amish paradise. Sorry.
You don't have to worry about offending.
Yeah, they're not supposed to, at least. Okay, so the Mennonites do, but the Amish don't.
All right, so if you are Amish and you're listening to this and you're pissed off at that guy because he made fun of your beard without a mustache, which does look weird.
It does, guys. I'm not making fun of it, but it did. I knew it didn't look normal.
I'm not. I'll be honest and humble. I have a great beard, but it's not perfect. I have a little, like, I can't, there's little areas I don't grow, but I'm consistent with what I do. And there's product, and I'm a real, no offense to women, but I'm a girl when it comes to my beard. I have product, a lot of product, and I take care of it.
You know what's up? All natural over here. No product. Zero.
Well, I do have some things to recommend to you from a beard wash. You're only really supposed to do it like twice a week. Things like that. There's elements.
You've recommended me before.
That might be offline. We'll talk about that.
You know what, though? This was a great episode, though.
It was so fun. Are we done?
I mean, we're close, but we can still chill. It's like, I always...
You had him in the Travis-ism of the candle. We're getting long in the tooth.
I mean, but you know, I feel like it was accurate for the moment. So
most people will listen to the first 5 minutes and then will fast forward to this part because they know at this point we're starting to drink heavy.
Yeah, so actually, we've been sipping, so we're good.
We've been pretty good, but I will give props again. This horse soldier, pretty darn good. So I'm going to do this for photo purposes. Actually, you know, Travis, hey, whatever, I will figure it out. So we're shamelessly promoting ourselves. I know last week you said there's no shame in your game.
There is no shame.
I think once you stand, if you stand up again, they'll see the shame covering your body, shorts and shirt. Shameful. Shameful.
Listen, first of all, I love my shirts. I'm getting mixed reviews, but I have some fans of the outfit.
They're obviously on the shelf because people are purchasing
them. Somebody's buying them, Brandon. Like, somebody's buying them. Like,
I will promote, though, your hat looks cool. So we'll go with that. You want some merch? We got ways to sell some merch. Just reach out to us, WayneNTH@gmail.com, or make a comment below. We thank you for your time here today. I know we were in pre-production. We always say, hey, we're going to talk about this, and that. We did go off on some tangents, which is why you love us.
Or Higgins. This is what happens.
This is what happens. And I do appreciate this guy across the table. We're going to see if we can get this closing right. Thank you for joining us. Please subscribe below or hit a like. Or actually, hit a like on the YouTube and make a comment. Spotify, iTunes, wherever else it is at. Please subscribe. We thank you for your support. We put out our content every week. Our Facebook page is building, so once that goes live, we'll let you know here too. But we have some things to do there because Facebook's algorithm is also very weird.
Very.
All right. So we thank you for your support today. We thank you for listening to Weighing In with Travis Hartman. That over there is Travis Hartman.
That is Brandon Waters.
Thank you for joining us. God bless.
That's the first time we got that one.